Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our one of two, and our goal always to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great plans for restoration. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. If we're going to make America great again, we got to make America moral again. There's no escaping that reality, ladies and gentlemen. And it starts with honest money. A quick recap of yesterday's broadcast. Senator Mike Lee standing up tall. Mike Lee says America's debt burden will doom the country unless we quickly change course. Boy, is that spot on. We got to return to honest gold and silver. True rates and measures. Ladies and gentlemen, and unless we get honest about our money, we're not going to be honest about anything else, are we? We also caught NOAA, that's the Government Weather Service, cooking the books. They got caught literally manipulating data, adjusting the, quote, big freeze out of existence. Breitbart.com with that piece. Wow, why don't we just shut down the unconstitutional NOAA, huh? This is an absolute scandal. The NOAA's climate gatekeepers, they're political activists. They're not honest scientists. And the U.S. taxpayer has no business funding their propaganda. Boy, howdy, is that right? Now, Fox News, starting to realize the new media has taken center stage. Fox fought for a long time against, but now they're putting together a standalone streaming service. They're going to call it Fox Nation. You know, all these mainstream networks and all these cable groups told us they couldn't serve up content a la carte. It just wasn't, you know, financially viable. That was until the American people voted with their dollars, voted with their viewership, their readership, their listenership, and now they've changed their tune. They're all scrambling for an a la carte channel, aren't they? Well, we told them it was possible. We set the standard, and now they're following suit. Well, I'm glad they came aboard. Better late than never, huh, Fox? The Department of Justice moving quickly to outlaw bump stocks. Trump directed the agency to promote gun control. Shame on you, Donald. Age limit for buying AR-15, they call them assault rifles, on the table, according to the White House. That's what Reuters reporting. Again, Donald pushing for gun control. Shame on you, Donald. There's no such thing as an assault rifle. Because what if I use that rifle as a self-defense mechanism? Does it become a self-defense rifle? Let's debate in America how often devices are used for self-defense versus used for criminal activity. Let's break it down and talk about it. There's experts. There's scientific research. There's people who have written books. There's studies on this, but nobody wants to debate that. How often do these inanimate objects get used for self-defense versus criminal activity? Huh? Newt Gingrich says the only long-term solution to school gun violence is to arm teachers. All right, there you have it. You know, where do you go with this? See, the problem is government school. Just shut down the government schools, and then the government won't be part of this at all. Private schools can find out what security measures they believe is the most prudent, right? All right, Pat Robertson stupidly fell for the lies as well. Now he's calling for stricter gun control. What a shame on you, Pat. Don't you believe in the unalienable God-given right of self-defense, my friend? Oprah just matched George Clooney and wife. They put $500,000 each, so $1 million, to Parkland Survivors, quote, March for Our Lives campaigns. So they got big, 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 big money at their back now. All right, Kurt wanted to talk about what types of insects can chickens eat? Betty Lewis wrote the piece, and it's all about, hey, people are literally getting in trouble for having chickens at their house. They're literally getting fines, and don't we believe in freedom in America? What about pro-choice? Do the pro-choice folks believe that people can have chickens if they choose? Just wondering. City imposes, quote, death sentence on veggie garden. Okay, it's a death sentence on the garden. You're not allowed to have a veggie garden in your front yard, folks, in some municipalities. It's an absolute shame, but that's what's happening in America when we have out-of-control government literally regulating and manipulating every aspect of our lives. We talked about, for example, bills gone wild. Cities have new ways to gouge you every way you turn around, folks. Rush Limbaugh says that Democrats are focused on politicization of attacks rather than school safety. And I appreciate your point, Rush. You're spot on. But it's not just the Democrats. You got Donald Trump advocating for gun control now. You got liberal Republicans pushing for gun control now. Look, it's the swamp monsters versus the rest of us. In fact, why don't we define it differently? What about those who obey the Constitution versus those who do not? Those who respect the supreme law of the land versus those who do not? Those who believe in liberty, not at the expense of security. That we can have both liberty and security if we obey the supreme law of the land and God's laws. What about those people, Rush? But you're too busy as the water boy carrying the water for the Republicans, and so you naturally create this divide and attack the Democrats. What a shame on you. Let's stand for right and wrong, good and bad. Let's stand on principle, shall we, Rush? Hour two, we had our guest on, Mr. James Edwards, the politicalcesspool.org radio program, an award-winning broadcast every Saturday night, syndicated by Liberty News Radio. Check it out, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We talked about the Reverend Billy Graham, dead at 99 years old. What a legacy to follow he set down, huh, folks? He certainly believed in God, family, and country, and he certainly did his best. World renowned. We're going to talk more about Billy Graham coming up because, man, I knew the guy was incredible, but I didn't realize how incredible. But we started out by talking about, do you know the Billy Graham rule? You probably didn't, huh? Well, should you be friends with somebody of the opposite sex? Billy Graham says, of course you should. But there ought to be real careful guidelines and stipulations to that friendship. And Focus on the Family and others wrote up the details of the rule, the guideline, the protections put in place, the buddy system, if you will, never get with a woman alone. Mike Pence has taken a page out of the Billy Graham playbook, and good on him for doing it. If Donald would do that, we wouldn't have all these scandals at the helm now, would we? So anyway, Reverend Billy Graham does a great job. We're going to talk about him more. We've got a personal friend that did an incredible write up on Billy Graham's life, who he was, and how he brought so many people together under the idea of God loves us and we should love him. Wow, incredible. We'll talk about that coming up. Look who's complaining about affirmative action now. Bob Unruh wrote the piece for WND.com. A lawsuit, believe it or not, has been filed by parents of Hartford, Connecticut school children. They're complaining it's unfair to limit the black and Hispanic increased school. I don't know what you want to say. They're called magnet schools, and they don't want only 75% to be black and Hispanic. They want all of it. So whites are eked out 25% right now. It's not fair to have whites get 25% of the population represented at these, quote, magnet schools, so they're suing. Wow. So affirmative action doesn't protect the white people, and if you bring up that, you're a racist, huh? Black Panther, that's the movie, is being hailed as the most, quote, diverse superhero movie in Hollywood. But it's not diverse enough for some progressives. They're wondering where all the gay characters are. And there you have it. You just can't win, can you? I guess there was a billboard up on I-65 and somebody got up on there and created some vandalism. It says, kill the NRA. Wow, what a shame. I hope they hunt down those criminal activity peddlers on that one. But I doubt they will. If it was a conservative saying, you know what, anything like that, then it would be tragedy. But in this case, hey, it's no big deal, I guess. There's a stunning list. Cops stop dozens of school attacks before they happen, writes Chelsea Schilling. And I normally would believe this might be propaganda, but in this case, I believe there's some truth to this, that, you know what, across the country, cops and school officials are doing a great job stopping criminal activity, and I think that's good on them. But the mainstream press doesn't want to highlight that good news, do they? All right, we talked about Coach Joe asking the Supreme Court to allow his prayers. On one hand, I think that's good news. I'm glad Coach Joe wants to pray. I'm glad people have the choice to pray. I guess I'm pro-choice on prayer. I'm glad that we want to have prayer in America, but I'm sad that you got to go to the Supreme Court and ask, quote, permission. What has this nation come to, folks? Just wondering. All right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. It is still available up online, on demand, at your fingertips if you're interested. LibertyRoundtable.com. Check it out today. While you're there, you might want to fund our efforts. Every penny will be used to grow our efforts in the media to tell the tale of liberty, to spread the truth, to bring to you news the networks refuse to use, and have a perspective on all things related to God, family, and country, and the protection of life, liberty, and property. We do want to make America great again. We do want to celebrate the greatest country on the face of the earth, and we do that by making America moral again. Speaking of making America moral again, our buddy Dennis Daly, well-known former newscaster at UPI, most recently reporting for Liberty News Daily, just a tremendous gentleman. He really felt the loss of Billy Graham's passing. And he wrote an incredible article about his feelings and his experiences growing up and Billy Graham's influence on him during those experiences. And I'm telling you, he emailed it to me and said, Sam, here's my thoughts on the passing of Billy Graham. And I read it and I went, wow, this is incredible. And I said, I emailed him back and I said, Dennis, if you will put this in an audio form, then I'll go ahead and air your comments on the radio. He agreed. I have it. It's coming up. How do you like that? You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby. Please fund the Widow's Mite Radio Network. LibertyRoundtable.com or LibertyNewsRadio.com. Donate today.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at koshertified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Koshertified app will be your start. Download it now at koshertified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, so Dennis Daly, our good friend, wrote an article, some thoughts on the Reverend Billy Graham, Dennis Daly. And I said, hey, put this in audio form and we'll play your article. Because he's a newscaster, so it's great to hear what he has to say. Listen up, we'll play this. It's just good. Listen.
Hi, it's Dennis Daly. The death of the Reverend Billy Graham could not have come at a worse time in the history of this nation if for no other reason than a major voice of moderation is gone. This is an era where there seems to be no middle ground. The stalemate in Washington, made worse by a rising tide of posturing and name-calling, is the kind of intransigence that flies in the face of all that Dr. Graham preached against. Although he was traditionally aligned with the more conservative side of American society and politics, his constant call to follow the dictates of Christ, feed the poor, take care of the oppressed, seemed to be a more moderate and charitable course than the signals he may have been sending due to his association with prominent GOP leaders. Dr. Billy Graham's death is a huge loss, even though in his later years he may have left the giving out of the message to others. He was here, among us, looming large, a call for charity and moderation. As a kid growing up in a Catholic home in rural southern Indiana, I had an interesting way of looking at Dr. Graham. I remember in eighth grade telling one of the nuns at my school that I thought maybe Billy Graham was the Protestant Pope. Her retort was half scolding, half smiling. I'm sure she understood what I meant. I also remember feeling good about sharing my positive feelings about Graham and his growing ministry to the nun. Just the year before, on the playground, she'd come up to me and asked me why I was singing a Protestant hymn. It was In the Garden. "What do you know about that song?" she asked. "My mother was a Protestant before marrying my dad, and she plays all that stuff on the piano," I said. "Start it again," the nun said. I did, and she sang along. "Why do you know it?" I asked. "Same reason," she answered. I guess when it had come time to share my feelings about Billy Graham with her later, I felt safe. Graham, from his earliest days, seemed to exude a kind of gentle authority whenever and wherever he spoke. Even though I wasn't sure that I should be watching, Catholic upbringing and all of that, I could not wait until the next Billy Graham crusade was on television. One of the reasons was that I began to really love and admire the late George Beverly Shea. As a matter of fact, a long documentary piece I did on Shea, which I uploaded to YouTube after his death, has gotten an incredible number of views. Shea, of course, always seemed to be there when it was time to wrap up the crusade and send the message home. With his deep, rich voice, George Beverly Shea also demonstrated a lot of authority. In one of his final concerts, in his 90s, he belted out, "How Great Thou Art." The audience, tears running down their cheeks, reveled as the old master sang his heart out, never missing a note, in the praise of the Lord. Shea had first sung the song in Madison Square Garden at a 1957 Billy Graham crusade. He sang it every night for 16 consecutive nights. He would sing it so many times over the years in subsequent crusades and personal appearances, he lost count. Shea may have sung live before more people than anyone else in history. I would like to think that is the case. There's no reason to doubt that. His contribution to the work of Billy Graham cannot be calculated. Along with the late Cliff Barrows, Graham's long-serving music director, George Beverly Shea brought an incalculable number of people out of their seats to go to the altar. The next time you see an old film of a Billy Graham crusade, just look at the faces of the people as Barrows' music and Shea's voice fill the auditorium. If you believe in the ability of music to be the hand of God, you have proof in what happened each night and every night of every crusade. And in many ways, that was Billy Graham's secret. No fire and brimstone preaching here, no faith healing with people being tapped on the head and falling backward into the arms of waiting assistants, no screaming, no yelling, no talking in tongues, none of that. Billy Graham was as simple as his message and as powerful. Billy Graham told it like it was, whether people were ready to hear it or not. He was fearless, and his attitude and delivery made others feel that way, fearless enough to conquer life's problems, fearless enough to answer the call and to come to the altar. Just about every nation seemed to welcome the Billy Graham Crusades. He ended up preaching on 6 continents, in 185 countries, at 417 separate crusades. His patented method of having a native fellow preacher stand beside him, repeating his words in the language of the people he was visiting, is an indelible image. People who were interviewed after the crusade said that when Graham spoke through the interpreter, they still heard Graham's voice and inflection. Even though Graham was not speaking their language, he essentially was, through his body language and his soaring voice. His message rang true wherever he spoke. It is no stretch of the imagination to see that Billy Graham actually did speak in many tongues. Graham's longest crusade lasted 16 weeks. It was a 1957 event, the one at New York City's Madison Square Garden. He used that venue, where prize fighters had beaten each other's brains out, to batter some sense into the attendees, gently. No doubt some had warned Graham not to attempt a crusade in the Big Apple. That urban environment might not be the right place to spread the gospel. Crowds might be thin. It all might be a huge and costly mistake. But Billy Graham knew the need, and he had faith in the outcome. But it is also safe to assume that attendance, or lack of it, was not the last thing on Dr. Graham's mind as he prepared for the crusade. He was known for speaking to his audience one-on-one. Had he walked away from New York City with but a single convert, that would have been enough. Billy Graham had begun his method of holding crusades, a rather new form of the old revival meeting, in 1947. The first venue was in, of all places, the Civic Auditorium in Grand Rapids, Michigan. More than 6,000 people attended, and that was just the start. As his popularity grew and people sought out his message, the size and prestige of the venues grew. Often as many as 5,000 locals would be enlisted to sing in a mass choir. By 1973, his international appeal guaranteed large audiences wherever he went. But no one expected what would happen at the crusade in Seoul, South Korea in recent years. That crusade marked one of the high points, at least as far as attendance to his ministry. Before he left the city after the final session, more than 1.1 million people had come to hear him. Over the years, the coming of the Billy Graham Crusades became important events in many cities. It wasn't unusual for many denominations to assist in the publicity. It became a quiet fact that whenever Billy Graham came to a city, every church benefited. It wasn't just the Baptists who came. Methodist congregations and even Catholic churches reported upswings in attendance in the wake of Graham's crusades. Graham always brought an awareness of the gospel wherever he preached. Someone once quipped that Graham could speak on a street corner in any small town and someone would come forward. He had that much charisma and ethical magnetism. Billy Graham certainly was the default Protestant religious leader in America. Many others over the years have come to the forefront, then either fading or self-destructing. After Oral, Jim and Tammy, Jerry, Jimmy, Ernest, and the rest had had their day in the evangelistic sun, Billy Graham remained solid as a rock. He was not a big dabbler in politics. While many around him became the spokesman for national civic causes.
All right, quick pause. I want to play the rest of this. We're almost done. I normally don't play long, detailed things like this, but in this case, there are reasons. I'll explain the reasons in seconds. Sam and Kurt, you are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. You are listening to the newscaster voice of Dennis Daly, personal good friend, and, well, how it influenced his life. Billy Graham. What an incredible person. Hold on.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Thank you. Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Some thoughts on the Reverend Billy Graham, Dennis Daly. We're in the middle of this incredible write-up, but he turned it into audio just for us. An old UPI newscaster, great friend of ours, and anyway, he just does a great job here. He's talking about Billy Graham. Listen. Come on now, computer. What's going on? All right, here we go.
He was not a big dabbler in politics. While many around him became the spokesman for national civic causes, Graham left most of his rhetoric to the heavenly side of the issues. He could have possibly swung the election to Nixon in 1960 had he played the religion card against Kennedy. But he didn't do it. In his later years, he told a reporter, he regretted any involvement in politics he may have had over the years. His image of stability and bipartisanship, though, won him a place on the dais on the agenda of more than half a dozen political inaugurations. Everyone who preaches the gospel today owes a debt to Billy Graham. Every singer and musician and organist and choir director owes a debt to his organization and the men and women who planned and carried out all the background work that made his crusades such wonderfully comfortable places. Every denomination owes a debt to Billy Graham. He was an anchor and a solid foundation in a time when other evangelists had feet and lives of clay. He was the constant that made others proud to be a preacher. There's a great story about a small-town Baptist minister who is rehearsing his Sunday sermon. His wife walks into the office and tells him she thought she heard a second voice coming from the room. "Oh, I was imitating Billy Graham," he told her. She responded, "Just be yourself. Let Billy Graham do the rest." He may not have been the Protestant Pope, but in many ways he lived up. He may not have been the Protestant Pope, but in his own way, he lived up to one of the terms used in describing a Roman Catholic Pope, Pontifex Maximus, the great bridge builder. Whether it was his ability to bring religions together in cities where he spoke, or his ability to bridge international gaps of language and culture and religion, Billy Graham succeeded in his mission. America needed Billy Graham. He was among us longer than most men. For that we are grateful. We need to be grateful. Billy Graham was one of the greatest messengers the gospel ever had, and he walked among us. Billy Graham gave this nation a kind of strong continuum through some really tough times. Through Vietnam and Watergate, unemployment, White House scandals, riots, and embarrassments, Billy Graham seemed to move with a certain ease, a quiet, calming authority. It showed in his message and his voice and his smile. It was as if he was holding God's hand when he spoke. Now, he holds God's hand again. I'm Dennis Daly.
There you have it. Incredible write-up on Billy Graham, ladies and gentlemen. And the reason that we air that, I normally don't air such long interviews or things from other people, because this is, look, this is Liberty Roundtable Live at Sam and Kurt. There's a lot of times an easy way to go listen to anybody or anything else that you want to, and why should I repeat it here, is generally my attitude. However, in this case, I wanted to air it for several reasons, which I'll explain. Number one, I agree that Billy Graham was an incredible person. And I agree that he affected so many people in their lives, like Dennis Daly growing up. And I agree, 99 years of standing for God, family, and country. He wasn't very political, but he certainly stood for moral issues. He certainly focused on things that I believe transcend politics. And that's one of the reasons that I wanted to air that, because, you know, you got Dennis Daly, who his mom was a Protestant, his dad was a Catholic, and they got married. And then he grew up in a Catholic home. So you got the Catholics then talking about Billy Graham, the Protestants' influence on their lives. They talked about Baptists and Catholics and everybody coming out. Whenever Billy Graham would speak, he'd benefit all churches. Now you got Sam and Kurt, the Mormons, promoting the Catholics' remembrance of the Protestant leader. And it just goes to show that we can all have maybe theological differences. That's okay. But we can stand together on the principles that we agree on, which is morality, the importance of the Ten Commandments. Instead of this divisive vitriol that seems to permeate our society, we can stand together for something. And Dennis Daly proved that. I didn't know Dennis Daly was that religious, Kurt. Personally, I mean, I've been friends with him, and he's been a newscaster for us, and we know him quite well, but I didn't realize that Billy Graham affected him that much growing up. And anyway, all I'm telling you is interesting stuff, and good on Billy Graham. And the only thing that I want to disagree with slightly that Dennis Daly started out with, he said it could not have come at a worse time. I understand his point, and I agree that, you know what, we need a guy like that today, and it's sad to lose him. So I'm not disagreeing with Dennis, I agree with him. But I disagree a little bit in the sense that it came almost at a perfect time when we have this gun control, divisive, every solution but God on the table discussion, sadly in America today, that we can insert Billy Graham's solution, which is to turn to God. Dennis Daly recognized it. We recognize it. And many people are recognizing it as well, and maybe, after 99 years of standing for Christ, as Billy Graham did, maybe he threw a pass. You know, maybe he's the quarterback on earth to bring religious people together. Maybe he threw a pass, and maybe it's a pass that multiple people can catch, such as me, Dennis Daly, Kurt Crosby, you, and dozens of other people that get it. Hundreds, thousands, maybe millions of people who get it and can decide that they're going to be, I don't know what you want to call it, a ball carrier for Christ? I don't mean to turn this into a sports analogy, but I do want to illustrate that maybe he's, in his death, giving life to a movement. And I think if it's up to us, we can make that happen. And we can set aside religious differences. We can bring together that we need to be one nation under God. We can bring together this idea that, hey, obeying the commandments of God can have a greater impact on people's lives. In rejecting violence and standing together for peace, then maybe anything else we could do, including setting politics aside. And if you don't believe me, I caught the ball. Dennis Daly caught the ball that Billy Graham passed in his passing. And now others are doing the same, and I see it. And over the next weeks and months and years, we're going to highlight people doing just the same, because I think that's where the answers are. And an example of that is Melania Trump literally promoted Random Acts of Kindness Day on her Twitter feed. Maybe she's catching the spirit, right? All right, there's an NFL player in the news who is now calling for a return to God and a respect for life to society in the wake of the Florida shooting. Jenny Fink writes the piece for IJR. The Independent Journal Review is what it is, Kurt. Do you know this football player, Kurt, this NFL star? Now, when you think about the NFL, you think about just an absolute meltdown all the time, right?
Well, yeah, typically. You know.
Because the mainstream press has made you feel that way, right?
Yeah.
In conjunction with the NFL and some of the leaders.
I mean,
having...
I could say that story we did on the Eagles a little while
That's right.
back was quite different.
But they literally buried that. We had to fight tooth and nail to even get it and then report on it, right?
Good point.
Okay, well, anyway, there's another guy in the NFL that does not work for the Eagles, Kurt. But he's calling for a return of God and a respect for life. He's on the Baltimore Ravens. Now, I don't know if you know this, Kurt, but Baltimore is listed as one of the most murderous cities in the world just recently.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy literally for the Baltimore Ravens, he's a tight end, Kurt. His name is Benjamin Watson. And he's calling for renewed values and faith in human lives. And he had an interview on Fox News. What's it called? The Story with Martha, what is it, McCallum or whatever it is?
Not sure.
McCallum. Anyway, and Martha interviews this guy, and he explained that, hey, you know what? This guy who committed the murders is certainly accountable and should be accountable to America. But as a culture, we gravitate towards violence, and that's got to change, he says. He added that while it's easy to put the blame on guns or a, quote, law that needs to be changed, we also need to identify where we have gone wrong, and we need to be willing and to have the courage to fix it. The NFL player acknowledged the hardships Nicholas might have went through in his life, but he said, listen, I'm an outspoken Christian, and I'm going to point to faith. When you take faith out of the public arena, when you take God out of there, the people suffer, he explains. Whether you believe in being a Christian or not, those principles truly carry us through, he continues. All right, I got details on this. Hang tight. Sam and Kurt on your radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare, but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
I wrote an article, a clarion call for civility. It's at libertyroundtable.com. Check it out, read it. But others are getting the spirit. I love it. Billy Graham leading the pack, passing away, passing the ball to many of us. Will we catch and run? I sure pray we run for Christ, ladies and gentlemen. Thoughts on the Reverend Billy Graham, Dennis Daly. Incredible breakdown of his life and historical relevance and the bringing together reality that Billy Graham laid down over a 99-year lifespan, then passing the ball to hopefully guys like us. NFL player calls for the return to God and respect for life in our society. Baltimore Ravens tight end, guy's name is Benjamin Watson, and he's advocating for a renewed value in faith and human lives. He says, when you take faith out of the public arena, when you take God out of there, people suffer. Wow, spot on stuff. Now, by the way, I don't know if Benjamin is black or white. Don't care. Sounds like a good guy doing the right thing. What a role model. What an example. Where's the mainstream press to tell you about this guy, huh? He says this. He criticized taking prayer and God out of schools and moving towards a society that does not listen to God. And instead does what we, quote, think is best. And it was an incredible interview on Fox. And I commend Benjamin Ravens tight end, Benjamin Watson. I think he's spot on target, Kurt. And just maybe Billy Graham passes the ball and guys like that. What, this guy, tight end, Kurt? Maybe he caught the pass and he's standing for Christianity. And I hope I am good enough to catch the pass too. And this is not a one guy to one guy scenario. This is a Billy Graham. Maybe many of us catch the spirit from Melania Trump promoting random acts of kindness to this Benjamin guy as a tight end for the Ravens to Sam and Kurt to Dennis Daly of all different religions. I don't even know what religion Benjamin is. I'm not here to care either. I'm here to stand together for God Almighty and the solution that morality brings to society, Kurt, and to transcend politics with this whole message. Because we've always promoted that God, family, and country and the protection of life, liberty, and property are the key to making America moral again, which will in turn, by nature, make America great again. I just dig it. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that there, Kurt? You didn't even hear about this guy, did you? Thanks to your mainstream press selling you south and sowing discontent and ill-guided divisions and such like that. They want you to believe everybody's just at odds with everybody over everything and it'll never be healed. Again, that breeds discouragement. That lacks solutions. Therefore, we reject it and point the way to go. Actually, we let Billy Graham point the way to go, huh, Kurt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Ben Watson, Sam, has got another, you know, kind of problem, if you will. I mean,
He's probably married to a NFL. Woman or something.
That's right.
Uh-oh.
It looks like been married to the same woman.
He doesn't like have 50 five, of them with just kids all over the country and crazy stuff like that?
Not that I can tell, Sam.
Ooh, good
they
for
have
Ben.
Five children.
Ooh, Ben. Right
well.
On, brother.
I mean, I'm thinking this guy.
Now, is this guy black or white, Kurt? Because I don't really care. I'm just interested now.
The picture of him is he's got a very deep tan, Sam.
Okay, so a very deep tan guy that stands with the principles that we stand with. Sound like we can lock arms and be brothers and stand together, united for the sacred cause of liberty and freedom mm-hmm. and prosperity and one nation under God and all the things that make America great, Kurt. Sounds like we can do that with our buddy Ben, right?
I agree.
Now, what are the ne'er-do-wells and the naysayers going to say about that, Kurt?
Well, they're going to try to stir us up, try to
problems. They're going to tell you how evil Ben is and how misguided we or he is. Or they're going to have some excuse to where it's not a genuine standing together, that it's somehow this faux alliance for political purposes. Or they're going to lie to you in some way. But what the ties that bind, ladies and gentlemen, are principle. That's why Billy Graham, was he a Baptist or a Protestant preacher, Kurt, or what? Protestant, right?
Yeah, I guess
but
so.
The Baptists came, the Catholics came, the Mormons come. We all show respect for the leader who preached God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Imagine
godly
that.
Godly people appreciate people who promote that kind of idea, I think.
Now, all I'm telling you is, in my opinion, Kurt, that's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that's good news. I just don't see a negative in it.
There you go.
And I commend Ben for his leadership. I mean, he did that on Fox. I think Fox just freaked.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm glad at least Fox is willing to, again, have this guy on and let him say his piece. Let him provide leadership and role model example. And I didn't even know about this guy, but I'd like to keep an eye on him and Tim Tebow and the folks at the Eagles. I'd like to really focus on these. In my opinion, people that can be role models, if given an opportunity, if given a fair chance to do so. I didn't even know about this guy. Imagine a guy like me, Kurt, promoting these principles every single day of my life for the last, 25 years? And then this guy doing the same thing, and we don't even know of each other.
Good point.
I think it's tremendous that we know about him now. I'd like to see if we can get him on the radio with us. Mm-hmm. Again, it just takes time and money and effort, and I've only got so many hours in the day. But all I'm telling you is it's tremendous. And I look at Dennis Daly. I had no idea that he had such a love for and experience with and had such an impact on his life growing up. Billy Graham's influence on him. And I had no idea. But this is why we need to bring this out, why we need long-form talk radio, why we need to stand together in solidarity for the principles that will make America great. Now, just imagine if Mike Pence, the well-known Christian, that takes a page out of the Billy Graham playbook when it comes to how to deal with women and people in the workplace and such like that of the opposite sex, to treat them as friends but to not put themselves in harm's way, and then Mike Pence having an influence on the good old Donald. Now, Donald hasn't been a Christian. His life hasn't been what I would call a Billy Graham lifestyle. Nevertheless, Donald is making progress, right? What if we prayed for the president? Agree or disagree with Donald's actions on many things, Kurt? What if we pray for the president? What if we hope Mike Pence and other Christian influences can make a difference in Donald's life? And what if Donald could change and could repent from his past snafus, or whatever you want to call them, and he could live a better life, a life more dedicated to his wife, more dedicated to morality and integrity? And what if he could be a trustworthy vessel that the Lord could work within to make a difference, to bring back God in America? What if that could all happen? Just imagine that, folks. I believe God's doing a great, great work. And I know things seem depressing in our society where you just hear negativity everywhere all the time. But I'm going to reject it. I'm going to set it aside. And I'm going to say, I know we got problems. I'm not dismissing that. And we talk about them all the time. But every problem we identify, we find a solution for. And every time we can find good news, we double down in support of it, ladies and gentlemen. Like no other media you know. I don't know anybody that's as bullish or positive, if you will, on the good news that we find. And I'm just telling you, when I get a guy like Dennis Daly, a well-known Catholic, email me in support of Billy Graham and the influence that he had on his life and an incredible historical review, and then you get this Benjamin, what's his name? I'm trying to remember. Tight end Benjamin Watson. Okay, this guy, when I see that guy, I want to promote him. I want people to know there's a good dude on the Ravens that's Christian, that has a wife and five children, and he believes that God can make a difference in our lives. And he believes prayer is valuable. He believes faith needs to be in the public arena. Now, I'm not here to even discuss the differences in theology we may have. I'm here to tell you that he's right. I'm here to say we need faith. We need prayer everywhere. Not by force, but we don't need to reject it by ridicule either. Where's the pro-choice folks when you need them? Are the pro-choice folks for prayer in school? Are the pro-choice folks for faith in the public arena? If they're really pro-choice, they ought to be, wouldn't you say? Anyway, tremendous stuff. Final words yours, Kurt. I know I didn't leave you much time, but I wanted most of the time to go to Dennis Daly and to focus on this incredible tight end I knew nothing about until today. Benjamin Watson doing a great job providing incredible leadership. I hope that Billy Graham passes the ball to many of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't imagine him not doing that. As far as I can tell, good people want good things to happen wherever they are. And they don't really care about who gets the credit. They care about, you know, the good things happen. When it comes to Billy Graham, I had very limited exposure to him, but I'm always grateful for anyone who does good things and tries to, make a difference wherever they are. I don't care if it's the smallest crowd or the largest crowds. Apparently he played before, you know, some big ones. When I look at, some of the most effective individuals that I've ever met or seen or heard of, I think a lot of them, well, I guess you could say I've probably never heard of. They'd be the moms, the dads, the you know, the people in the churches, administering to people like the homeless and others, who go about their daily efforts largely unsung. That's where I'd say some of the greatest work is ever done. And hats off to Billy Graham as well as Ben Watson. There's a whole lot more good things being done. I know, when it comes to this whole school shooting, I'm glad to hear people talking about the fact that, hey, we need God in the mix. Without him, I don't care how much, quote, security you try to install, the real security comes when keeping the commandments of God and reverencing him and allowing and inviting him into, well, wherever we are. That's just the bottom line.
Amen. Yeah to Dennis Daly. Yeah to Billy Graham. Yeah to Baltimore Ravens tight end Benjamin Watson. Yay to all these people. I commend them for their work, and I would like to work with them and help promote the cause. I just think good people can stand together in solidarity to make a difference. We can set aside racial and religious and every other divide on the planet, and we can stand together for God, family, and country, Kurt. Mm-hmm. And in the process, we'll protect life, we'll protect liberty, we'll protect property, we'll make a difference. And you know, I know a lot of folks are, I even heard one person promoted in the media, and this lady's like, yeah, forget about prayer. That doesn't do any good. Let's take action. What? Wow. And see, that's what the mainstream press wants to peddle, this idea that prayer doesn't solve anything. This idea that turning to God, it's obedience to his commandments. If you want to take action, that's the action that will matter. If you want solutions, I'm here to point them out, folks. If you want to take action, action that'll create change, change that'll create safety. If you want liberty and security at the same time, it isn't trust in government. It's to trust in God. And this is a critical point to stand on, folks. It really is. People need to understand this. And I just commend these leaders for all doing that. And I hope we can have more of this understanding and solutions-oriented discussions in society. And I pray you'll help us, because it doesn't just take Sam or this Benjamin guy that's a tight end for the Ravens, or Dennis Daly, or Billy Graham. It takes us all. And that's why we need your financial help. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. Donate today. Every penny will be used to grow our presence in the media. Kurt and I already have day jobs to support our families, okay? We're not asking you just to fund our lives while we live lavishly. What we are trying to say is the more people that can help us, the more we can grow our presence in the media and tell the tale of liberty everywhere we go. We can make America great by making America moral. We call it the Widow's Mite Radio Network because we run on a thin dime, to say the least. We need your help. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com. We declare this nation shall endure.